Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvie Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvie Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvie Salon and Spa at their website, truviesalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Okay, I'm just going to step on it. I'll come off at 80 miles an hour. You'll see what it is, okay? You ready?
Mr. President, can I ask you a quick question on Israel before you drive
no,
away?
No, you can't. Not unless you get in front of the car as I step on it. I'm only teasing. Okay, here we go. You ready?
See it, sir.
You ready?
Sunshine City Radio St. Pete.com.
Radio St. Pete.com presents the homemade broadcast.
See, this is good news for Will.
What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write. And it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
How do you like that?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSt.Pete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg, or on podcast at HMBRadio.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome to the show. 813-693-2124. Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at home_made_man. I encourage you to follow me. I'm a great Twitterer. So underrated. Ask the Mike Calta Show. They'll tell you. I wish they'd put out my dang handle for that game they play, but I don't want to be like, hey, will you guys put out my handle for Twitter? It wouldn't be cool. Well, follow me over there. home_made_man. Follow Radio St. Pete too. Radio STPETE. And Facebook to HMB Radio and RadioSt.Pete.com. I hope you're well. I'm good. That beginning clip was the President of the United States, Joe Biden, threatening to run over a reporter at the beginning. And them loving it. The press corps loving it. Now, he was joking. Yes, everybody understands that. And it was a funny joke. I laughed when I heard it. And I just can't help but to think what would have happened. Don't have to imagine. We went through 4 years of, I found this similarity as many other did when Trump said that he would strap the reporters to one of Elon Musk rockets. And they went, oh my God, we're under attack. I've been murdered. It was like the guy from Reno 911, Nick Swartzen. I don't know if you remember that, but I've been murdered. That's what they act like. And then when, you know, their person that they like does it, they laugh, is what a normal reaction should be. It's obviously being facetious. And I don't know. It just bugged me how they cheered and applauded when he threatened to run one of them over. He was just kidding, though. And I heard that the rebuttal was, yeah, but he said he was just kidding at the end. Okay. Okay. If you say so, whatever. We got Anna Hummel is here. We're talking a bunch of fun things. And I'd like to remind you, of course, that the HMB Radio store is now up. You can get yourself a hat. You can get, I hope the hats are good. I saw a few people who ordered hats and made me a little nervous because they're embroidered. And sometimes with detailed embroidery, it doesn't always come out good. So I hope those are okay. Those of you that did order hats, if they're bad, please let me know because I'm going to take them off the shop if they're not any good. But I got the hoodies. I got Anna hoodie, and they're awesome, and they're super comfortable. I don't know about the T-shirts, but I'm assuming the printing would be the same as what's on the hoodies, and it came out really, really good. So go over to hmbradio.com/store and get yourself something. Show your support for this program. I do it for free. I do it, you know, because I want to. I have fun doing it, but I do it for free. And I'm poor, so give me money. I need money. If you want to do that, you don't have to. But if you don't, I'm going to kick your ass. Go over to hmbradio.com/donate, and you can go donate a few dollars. There's PayPal, Venmo, whatever you're comfortable with. Of course, you don't have to. I'm kidding. But it is there, and I appreciate that.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
Anna, we have a mutual friend who's joined Hamas and is actually on their way to, I was going to say Israel.
A board meeting?
But she's actually on her way to Palestine right
oh,
now.
Interesting.
To fight for Hamas in the fourth Israeli Gaza war.
I really think that's not your biggest issue with this person.
No, it's not. I would.
That's fine, as long as they respond to your text messages.
I would much rather them go fight in the war than to put a stupid Facebook border on their profile page. Oh. I've never seen a more innate gesture of anything in my entire life. It's very common. I think we talked about it before when people put up the black square, you know, a few months ago. Just a useless gesture that is saying the right things so you don't have to do the right things. And I'm happy to see her go live her convictions and fight for the Palestinians and their fight for freedom.
I was a little confused by it. I wasn't sure if she knew exactly what it was. But to be honest with you, I think it was I think she meant it in a harmless way. Like, I think, again, I don't know. I'm not just trying to assume what's in people's hearts and minds, but I think it's she had a few friends that were Palestinian that were posting things about, you know, ethnic cleansing, stuff like that, and decided to show solidarity for them because they're part of her life, and she just kind of made the Facebook profile change.
I would like to point out the fact that she also has Jewish friends and did not make the same considerations for those. You being one, me kind of like one quarter.
Well, here's the thing. You and I aren't posting about it. You know what I mean?
True.
If I was making posts and saying like, this is outrageous, then maybe she may have not made that. I don't know if she would have considered it differently. But I'm not making posts. I'm not saying anything because I don't use social media for that typically. So when, you know, her friends are posting things about it, how their people are getting pummeled and destroyed, I think she was like, well, people dying is good, so I'm going to show solidarity. But I think I don't think she thought to the next step of, well, you know, doesn't Israel have the right to defend itself? It's not even that far. It's just that I want to show support for my friends who are posting about this and are clearly upset about it.
Well, that's where you're right. I'm sure that's probably true. And it's come to the point where nobody has that foresight to think one step ahead. Everybody just lives their life by an appeal to emotion. And that's a logical fallacy. And those just become policy at a certain. And it's like, well, okay, so if you do this, there's, you know, things that will happen because of that action. And people just go, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I'm like, yeah, but it might be worse. Yeah. Okay? And they're just like, no. You're a bigot. You're mean.
Listen,
like,
all right. I get that. You get that. Most people don't get that.
No, most. That's the frustrating thing.
Most people don't get that. And you know what? To be honest with you, when I saw the support for Palestine, even though I, was born in Israel, my dad was in the Israeli military, we have property in Israel that might be getting pummeled soon. I don't think that she was making an anti-Semitic gesture. I don't think it was at all that. I think it was just she had friends that were clearly upset, that were making lots of posts on the Facebook, and she just wanted to show solidarity with them. And that's why it didn't bother me, at least initially.
Now, does this person consume any sort of corporate media?
No.
Okay, because corporate media is totally in the can for...
Of course.
I was telling you about this just before we got on, that it's so bizarre how everything, I mean, really everything, even stuff that isn't even close. Like, I understand almost to a point where this is political. So it's like, if you vote Democrat, you're on Palestinian team, few outliers, of course. And if you vote Republican, then you're all in on Israel. That's become mass, same thing. That's a weird cultural war that's being fought. That was science at one point, in quotes.
Even though the CDC has now said you don't need to wear a mask inside if you're vaccinated, yet a lot of the blue states are saying, no, we're not still letting go of the mask. It's like, but you guys were claiming to follow the science the
exactly.
whole time. It's funny, isn't it?
It's the simulation continues to impress, where now they're freaks. Mm-hmm. They're the weirdos. And watching them adapt and deal with that, people are still wearing masks. Like, I don't care if you wear a mask if you want to. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But you're a freak now. Do you not believe in the vaccines? Like, what are they going to do when they're signaling that I'm wearing a mask? Does that mean that you're not vaccinated?
Right.
Now they're going to signal that they're not vaccinated.
Or that you're just being extra careful because you care so much.
I think it's going to signal more that they're not vaccinated, though.
I don't think so. I think that the people that don't want to get vaccinated are probably also the ones not wearing masks. So they're going to take advantage of, like, hey, you don't have a mask on, you're like, I'm vaccinated, baby.
Well, yes. I mean, but I'm talking about specifically the people who are wearing masks right now.
I still see those people as people who are just being extra cautious in my brain. Like, if I see someone with a mask, it's that they're probably vaccinated and they're being extra cautious.
But the science is saying that you don't have to wear a mask
Correct.
Now, and they're still continuing to do
but
that.
That's so how I'm registering it.
Therefore, the process is, the next step is that you're anti-science and you're not following the science. You're the weirdo now. You are the freak when 2 weeks ago you were the...
I think that they are erring on the side of caution, and they're saying, listen, even if it's a small chance, there's still a chance I can contract it. I just want to be extra careful, which is just like, all right.
That's, just don't go outside.
Right?
Stay inside forever. Listen, don't move.
Do you? I hate wearing a mask. I hate it, especially if it's getting hot now, and you have to, like, I had to go into a restaurant to pick up a meal I got, and I was just like... I felt like I was, in a straitjacket or something. And I was only wearing it for like 3 minutes, and I didn't mm-hmm. like it at all.
Yeah, I went in for I'm not technically vaccinated. I'd like to talk about that too for a second. I'm not technically vaccinated, but I went in without a mask. But it was a business. I had one with me. Like, I still keep one if a business insists that I wear it. Okay, if I need to be in there to pick up something or whatever. And the guy that was working there wasn't wearing one. And
oh, okay.
He was just like, oh, I don't care about that anymore. I'm like, okay, cool. So I just didn't put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, and it was good, and I picked up my food, and I left. And this is a point of contention where this has become political too, obviously, the vaccination thing. Now, I've had COVID-19. You've had COVID-19.
Sure have.
I have COVID-19 antibodies. And I talked to my doctor about getting... I'm not anti-vaccine necessarily, but if I don't have to get something, I'd rather not just get it to signal, and make
right,
other people happy.
There's a pretty good chance you might have some effects from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you've had it somewhat recently like I have. Even I think the CDC says you should not get the vaccine if you've had COVID within the last 3 months or 90 days mm-hmm. or something. So, yeah, I mean, you probably still have antibodies.
I do. I do have antibodies. And I saw this study that Thomas Massie tweeted out. He's a senator. And it basically goes into essentially, if you have the antibodies, you have the same protection as having the Pfizer vaccine. So I sent this to a group of friends of mine, and I was starting trouble. I was starting trouble a little bit because I was told that I couldn't go on a trip because I wasn't vaccinated.
Right.
So I wanted to be like, hey, look, I'm vaccinated by Jesus Christ himself. And of course, my doctor friend had a good point to this, which was, yes, this is true. However, it doesn't say how long the antibodies last. Okay, well, that's a fair point. And then my friend countered that with, yeah, you need to get antibody tests weekly. I said, okay, well, how long do the antibodies last with the vaccine? And they said, well, we don't know. We're figuring that out as we go along. I go, well, that's the same thing, right?
You don't know how long you're getting tested weekly?
And then I threw that in there, and then, you know, it got a little contentious. I could tell a little bit with the text, like, oh, yeah, it's the same thing when you had, you know, COVID-19 in October, and I just got vaccinated 3 weeks ago. Yeah, that's the same thing. I go, well, it's not the same thing.
Well, what if you got vaccinated in January, say? Then it's okay because you've been vaccinated. The name of the game is immunity. It doesn't matter if you got it from a vaccine or you got it because you got the disease. It's immunity.
And that seems totally... I don't understand why that's even a point of contention with anybody.
Yeah.
But it's weird. It's down political lines. Now, and my doctor buddy said, Kayer, he's probably listening, and he said, well, they're gonna start finding out in about 9 to 12 months. So people were vaccinated, you know, in January for the testing. We'll find out more information. I go, okay, fair enough. And I left it there. Mm-hmm. But
why don't they just start testing people like a month after they get the vaccine and just kind of measure it from there?
I think it has to do with probably don't have the funding for that.
You don't do everybody, but you do a few people.
Well, I'm sure they're keeping track of the people who initially did it.
They don't want to release the results until
it's done.
Yeah.
So they're going to find out in the next few. But it's just weird how everything's political. Tim Tebow is political. I did a podcast that talked about Tim Tebow a little bit today. He signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm starting to get to the point where I'm starting to like things just because it makes people mad that don't like it. So I'm now a Tim Tebow fan, and I don't really give a crap.
You're not a Jaguars fan.
I'm not a Jaguars fan, but guess what? This year, they're my AFC team now. Yeah, I'm going to be rooting for the Jaguars, and I'm rooting for specifically Tim Tebow now, just because it enrages people that I hate.
Is he still like rah-rah God and stuff? I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, more than ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah, more than ever.
But he's white, so he's a piece of ass.
Yeah, and he doesn't, you know, and people had good points that he doesn't deserve this opportunity, but it's like, well, he's friends with Urban Meyer, okay? And that, no doubt, who's the head coach of the Jaguars now? Yeah. They played, he was...
Ohio State, please.
Ohio State, and he was Tebow's coach in Florida when they had all the success. Yours is a sports correspondent, I forgot.
I do the sports. I know that one of his coaches that was, like, beating his wife, okay?
Right,
I know
things.
Go ahead.
Of course. Well, he's the... Why is this political? I mean, like, why do you care so much of Tim?
And
Colin Kaepernick
is. Okay, so explain the other side. Like, why are people upset? They're saying because Colin Kaepernick
isn't playing.
Is he playing or is he like? Is he trying out? Like,
he signed a contract today when we're recording this. So he tried out, and it was big news last week. And
eight years off,
something like that. Six to eight years, something like that.
Okay,
it's a. Tebow's from Jacksonville area. It's still a big star.
I mean, I knew who he was, and he was in sports. So, and this was like when he was really popular. So you know that it's once I know who you are, then you've crossed that sports to culture line,
right?
You know, so
I heard like Ian Beckles, for example, talking about it, and I trust Ian's analysis with sports and stuff. I mean, he was a former player, and I love Ian, but he was talking about how Tebow doesn't deserve this and he's not going to succeed. And it's just like, I mean, I would say, first of all, that he signed a contract because they were saying he was not going to sign. There's no way they're going to sign him. He's just too old today. He's old. He's switching positions. He's moving to tight end instead of playing quarterback. Although I think what they're going to do with him, not to get too much into weeds with sports talk, but I think they're going to use him like a Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill plays for the Saints, and he's kind of like this weird player that can do it all.
Like so, a jack of all trades.
So he'll line up at quarterback. You know, he's listed as a quarterback, but he sprints out to wide receiver. He plays tight end. Like, he just does a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. He's a weapon, and I think that's how they're going to use Tebow for the Jaguars. So he's not going to be a classic tight end. Mm-hmm. His style of play might work. They might figure out something for him in the NFL. It could be a disaster. He might get cut before the season. Right. However, I'm just going to be rooting for him personally because it makes people mad.
Right.
And people that I probably don't like.
And it gives you energy. And it gives me energy.
Hey, I am a very petty man. Our friend who's a terrorist who is fighting for Hamas now. They are axed. They're being shunned currently because I didn't even get a text message back.
But you sent 3 messages in a row.
3 messages. No response. Not in a row, but like a few hours later, and then one like a few days later.
But I mean, like, without any response.
No response. And it's like, okay, well, we're friends and now we're enemies. Now I'm rooting for Israel. Yeah. No. So.
Go Team Israel.
Yeah.
Not because you love Israel so much.
No.
But you're pissed off at the how you were just kind of dissed by this person.
Yeah, so now I'm going to adopt something that the other person doesn't like, and I'm going to root for that thing now.
You're
going to
learn Hebrew, and you're going to wear yarmulke, and you're going to just walk around.
Listen, I had a scam that when I was 13 years old, I stole my bubby's address book. I mean, just took, not stole it, like kept it, but I went to a purse and grabbed it because my plan was to write my uncles and great aunts and all this stuff that live up in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. And I mean, I'm Jew-ish and like that thing where I'm never celebrated. We did Hanukkah growing up, but that was just because I got presents and it was fun.
Sure.
You know, something
and
to
you
do.
You never went to like synagogue.
Never went to synagogue, never went through Hebrew school, never was bar mitzvah, any of that. But I saw the money that my Cape Coral cousins got when they were bar mitzvahed, and I said, I want some of that action.
Yeah.
So my plan was to write them and say, Billy is getting bar mitzvah. Don't come here. But
how are you going to do? Because then I feel like they would have been really upset that they weren't invited.
Probably. I didn't really think that far ahead.
Right, right.
You know, I had no foresight back then.
Yeah.
I was living a logical fallacy.
Uh-huh.
That much.
And did you write these people?
I ended up not doing it. My conscience got the best of me, and I just wasn't able to lie. Like, I could white lie pretty good, but I can't. That's just too
Black
big of a lie. No. No. I just can't. That's just too big.
Uh-huh.
Too much. Yeah. So I ended up not doing
Probably for the best.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm on Israel's team now since our friend is pro-Palestine.
And here's the thing about that. Like, I was born in Israel. My family is Jewish. I was raised Jewish, now an atheist. But and Israel's also, like, just a democracy. I also hang to the right. So everything is pointing to the fact that I should be, like, pro-Israel. But here's the thing. Like, I feel like I've at a point in my life where we talk about this all the time. I don't like identity politics. And if it was weird because I used to be, I don't want to say I used to be a lot more pro-Israel because that's not true, but I used to be much more emotionally invested in it. So when stuff like this would happen and people would say stuff against Israel or against Jews, I would take it as a personal offense. Now I kind of have taken a step back and I go, they're analyzing a situation that really has nothing to do with me. To me, people get offended by proxy. Like, oh, you said something about a Palestinian. I'm Palestinian, therefore I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really look at it like that anymore, but I like to take a step back and go, you know, I want to get to the root of the problem. Like, who really is at fault here? What could this side have done better? What could that side have done better? So that's how I'm kind of like looking at this now. So whereas I used to jump on people online if they were saying pro-Palestinian stuff, I don't do that anymore. First of all, they don't know anything. From the get, they do not know anything, and they're gonna be defensive. So why? That's a losing battle and a waste of time.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Like, don't waste your time. And with stuff like that, I know that I don't know enough about. That is such a quagmire over there. There's so many moving parts that I couldn't even begin.
There's so much history with the conflict.
Yeah,
and you hear like obnoxious white people saying like, "But why can't they just get along? Why can't they just share the land?"
It's naive. Like, it's naivete, and it's based on feelings, just like what we talked about at the beginning, where policy is shaped by how people feel about something. Just be nice. I mean, there is like literally that. Just be nice. That's all you need to do is be nice. Hey, okay, I agree with you.
Yeah. Why doesn't your neighborhood get bombed? And then be nice. Hey, don't bomb him. Be nice.
Be nice. So it's just a naive and a simpleton point of view.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where you live that in your day to day. You know, you should be nice.
Yes.
Individually, you as an individual, be nice to your neighbors and live in peace. And I think that's a great lifestyle to live. However, when it comes to broad foreign policy, that is just, it's asinine and it's going to get you killed, mm-hmm. that point of view. Because there are a lot of other you know, variables that come into play here.
Yeah.
And so I just, social media, Twitter and Facebook has given people a platform to say their opinions, which is great. It's also just really uninformed, emotional opinions. And this is not on one side or the other. You know, we both have boomer parents, fathers. You know, but granted, they are old and they probably know more than our friends do, for example, about certain things. But
yeah. I mean, especially like my dad who lived in Israel for 13 years. He studied Jewish and Israeli history and things like that. But even still, like, I still have to understand that his opinion or my opinion has like a lens of bias on it. So I really am trying to extract all the biases and like, but I was Jewish, I'm Jewish or was Jewish, and I was born in Israel. I really just try to strip that all away, and I go, let's look at the problem as logically as possible. What happened? Not just they're wrong because they're Palestinian or they're wrong because they're Israeli. Like, what happened in this case logically, and really who was at fault? So, and I was like telling you before, I have a friend that I went to high school with. She couldn't be more left. You couldn't move her any more left. Like, crazy vaccines, you know, hated Trump, like, you know, lives in California, afraid of everything. Had, like, posted recently she hadn't been inside a restaurant in, like, a year and a half or whenever since March of last year. But she's Jewish.
Mm.
And she's lives in the L.A. area, and she was talking about there's a lot of anti-Semitism going on there now.
Mm.
Which is odd because the left usually hangs with Palestine or the Palestinians.
Yes,
and
yeah.
So then it was this weird schism where her and Ben Shapiro now have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the world is topsy-turvy.
Well, it's weird, you know, and I told you this, too. It's not a spectrum, the left and the right, a straight line. It wraps around. It's a horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it's weird. And I use the example of Jewish, you know, people. It seems like both extremes hate Jews, you know, depending on where you're at. The far left, you know, tends to side with Israel, not big fans of Jews. And, you know, the farther right, the Nazis, the real Nazis, they don't particularly care for the Jews either.
Don't.
So they almost, they're the different sides of the same coin.
Right. It's kind of like the far right and the far left are actually closer together than they are to the center.
Yes. Totally, 100%. And that goes for Asians, too. Asian people, you know, are getting beat up in New York and these big cities, Chicago and Oakland and San Francisco.
I know,
you can look it up if you really are that interested.
Oh.
I don't know. but you can look it up if you want to. And it's funny because, you know, the people on the left are saying, you know, this is terrible. We got to stop hate. But then they're also saying that they shouldn't get to go to college because they're white adjacent, you know, and they have white privilege and there's too many Asians in universities. So we got to discriminate against them. But they're also saying that, you know,
you gotta stop hate.
And it's just bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, it's just same different sides of the same coin,
yeah,
where they're just like polar opposites of each other, but they live in that same ecosphere.
The,
you know,
the left and the right, the extremes, the main issue, well, I have a lot of issues with them, but there's no consistency. You know, there's not like if the left said, we follow the science, right? And then they said, okay, you don't need to wear a mask. And then they said, okay, like, I would respect that because at least they were consistent with what they said they were going to do and believe, but they're not consistent. They're hypocritical.
Definitely not consistent.
You know, they were blaming the right, saying these people are, you know, not following the science, not listening to Fauci. And then all of a sudden Fauci's like, okay, you don't need masks. And then they're like, no, we're keeping the masks on.
You're going to keep the, which he's still wearing a mask. He's fully vaccinated and he's still caught on camera. Joe Biden, same thing, still wearing a mask. So that doesn't send a concise, clear signal to their constituents. It's a complete disaster.
Yeah.
And again, most of policy is based on feeling, and it's totally tribal.
Mm-hmm.
There is no following the science. That doesn't exist, by the way. I hate that phrase. Science is constantly changing. We get more information. And it's become a religion for some people, but what they mean is their tribe science. Mm. They don't mean science, mm-hmm. you know, because science gets proven to be wrong all the time.
Or and updated, this is, yeah.
Yeah, and the things get updated, right. So they don't mean trust society, they mean trust their science, and that's going to shift and change based on, you know, whatever the narrative in the media is that week it appears. So that phrase drives me bonkers too, the trust the science people. Just nonsense.
And the new normal. I'm not a fan of that term.
Yeah.
Been overused, yeah. And I don't know what they mean by that.
I do not enjoy that either. The last thing I wanted to touch on, you know, I have no doubt that this was inappropriate, mm-hmm. I would say, but it bothered me a little bit because I am allegedly a man, though technically non-binary. I do have a...
They, them? Or no, do you still go by he, him?
I'm going by he, him. Those are my pronouns. But, you know, there's a few episodes back now, I come out as gender non-binary, or not come out, but literally medically, I'm like clinically gender non-binary, but I identify as male. And you can find out more about that if you go back a few episodes. Just look for the gender non-binary in the title. Mm-hmm. That will be the one. But I do recognize myself to be a man. And as a man, I like ladies. You know?
Some men don't like ladies, Will.
I know, but
would you want to clarify
true.
That? You want to walk that back a little bit?
The overwhelming majority of men like the ladies.
Okay.
And this guy, he's a Pinellas County Sheriff's deputy, was... he was fired this week. Now, what was he fired for? Well, he was fired for basically flirting with a lady on text message. I will say, while unprofessional, because he did this, it was a case that he was working on, and it was a woman that was, well, let's just read it a
little
bit.
We're like smiling because we know it's coming. Like, it's really morbid, but it's, you know, whatever.
So he put his own personal wants ahead of the welfare of people he was sworn to serve. I don't know if I agree with that either, but he did, you know, decide to have a text conversation with this woman.
If she wanted it too, then it wouldn't have been putting his wants above, you know.
Well, and we can get into that a little bit too. So he met this woman during a death investigation of her father. That's awful. It's just kind of funny, too, that this is how this, you know, quote, romance started. Yeah. But she said at first the texts were about the investigation, but then investigators say that it turned personal. They included some personal photos of him, including him in his uniform. Didn't say anything. He wasn't sending his hog or anything, like,
or
unsolicited.
Or, like, suggestive photos.
No, yeah, just him, pictures of him. Now, I got to notice this first screenshot that they share is the woman's phone, and the first message that they have in a screenshot is from her.
And it's a question.
And it's a question.
And a personal question.
And a personal question at that. So it says, what is your favorite thing to do when you're not working? Now, to me, if I were to get that message, I would be wondering, is something happening right now?
Yeah.
I mean, like, maybe you would be questioning it.
Yeah, I'd like to see what was before this, but sure, if we're starting here, then...
That's just where it's starting, yeah. So he says, I enjoy to spend time with friends and family, good meals, beach, nature in general, a good movie, theme parks, and good conversation. And he spelled a wild price. He's not a very good texter, probably because he has an Android. And then she says, what is wild price? And he clarified that he meant to say wild orgies. Okay. So, but he did put LOLJK at the end. So it was, I mean.
He's trying to be funny.
He's trying to be funny.
Like, sad. Like, he's naming all these things that are really mundane. And then, like, there's something that's super wild.
But definitely throwing a lure out there to see if she bites
of
on that.
Of course. But so is she, it seems like.
I mean, she's asking him questions, not about the investigation. She's asking him, what do you like to do? And then she goes, oh, geez. And then he texts her later, and he says, back at it again tonight, I'm assuming means back on duty. And then she asked him another question, that if you could do any job, what would it be? And then he answered, male stripper, LOL. And then she put, LOL what?
Harmless.
It seems like they're flirting to me on here.
It's harmless.
Now, she's saying that these were unwanted and she was scared because he's in a position of power over her. So she felt like she couldn't, I guess, you know, say anything, although she did, and the guy was fired.
Yeah.
So it said that he admitted to sending the messages written and in February 2021, Overton used an app on his phone to disguise a personal phone number from another woman who contacted investigators.
Honestly. You should have been like, this bitch was flirting with me. What did you think I was going to do?
Yeah, but you can't. I mean, like, it's weird.
He should have doubled down.
You know what?
He got fired anyways.
Right. You're right.
He should have doubled down and said, listen, she was flirting with me. You want to see the text message? She was. I made some dumb jokes. She didn't like it. She could. If she would have said at any time in those messages, this is uncomfortable, like, this is inappropriate, and he continued, all right, fine, not great. But that never happened, at least of what I've seen.
So you had an interesting perspective on this part, too.
I know why the tide turned.
The tide turned because it seemed like she's into it to me. Yeah. At least not maybe she's feeling it out.
Yeah.
At least not disinterested at this point.
Right. And she's engaging him, you know. And if he was just kept asking her questions or sending her stuff and she was just like, haha, okay, great. She's actively trying to continue the conversation.
Right. She's asking questions. I guess her excuse is that she was afraid, I guess. Please. I don't know. I don't buy that. I'm sorry. Like, I believe that women have agency here and are, you know. Anyway, like, what would you do if this was happening to you?
And
you're
a bad person
to ask because you're a coward.
I'm a coward?
You're a coward with men.
Yeah, you're right.
So maybe maybe this is right.
But here's the thing. Like, I mean, I wouldn't, if it was just text messages, unless he's like, I'm coming to your house, I'm going to kill you or something crazy like that. Even if he's being kind of creepy and weird, like, I'm not going to ruin your life. I'm not going to ruin your livelihood.
Couldn't you just, even if you didn't want to say anything and you're scared, just don't say anything.
Yeah, you know, or just like a ha-ha, but I would never I would never continue the conversation if I was uncomfortable with it.
Right.
I would never be like, what's your dream job? Like, I would never ask that. I would just be like, oh, okay, cool. Or just, and then just stop
and
answering.
Then it fades out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I've been faded out. I'm sure every guy has gotten a fade.
But if this was someone who was like a boss or a superior, that's what I would do.
Right.
And then if they kept bothering me or they were like harassing me at work or if anyone touched me, then we have a problem. But this is like, they're shooting their shot, man.
Exactly. That's my point, is that if she was interested, she would have jumped all over this, I think, and it would have been fine. And then nothing would ever came from it. Potentially maybe married this woman.
Yes.
And lived his life happily ever after. So, yes, it was unprofessional what he did, but should he be fired for that? I'm going to ask people out there, 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. If you want, you can send a message through that for people listening.
But I think is he sent a message that she didn't like, and it really had nothing to do with the sexual content. It was almost like he hurled an insult her way, and I think the tide turned, and then she goes, you know what? I'm going to get this guy fired.
He blew it.
He pissed me off.
You're right. He blew it. And please share how he blew it.
Yes, he blew it because he said, quote, don't take this the wrong way, but you have that attractive, independent vibe. Not a perfect body, but def still sexy and very caring. When he tells, no woman, listen, all of us bitches know we don't have a perfect body. But when a guy tells us you don't have a perfect body, but still def sexy, we don't hear, but still def sexy.
We hear
you don't have you don't have a good body. You're actually ugly and gross, and you should be lucky that I should even be talking to you right now. And that's probably what she heard when she read this message. And she's like, oh, interesting. Now I'm going to ruin your life.
and women are vindictive and mean. and they know that from the stories the past few years that this can happen. And, you know, I don't know if that's really what it was, but I mean, that could have been the tide turner right there, where it was seemed to at least something was happening. Even if she was unsure, she was willing to kind of explore it a little bit. And then he threw this out there, and maybe that was just, she was just like, okay.
She was probably, and I know that this happens with a lot of people, but this sort of relationship between, you know, a deputy and someone he's working for, it's kind of taboo. And that can be very enticing, right?
Sure.
Like you're like, we should not be flirting. This is dirty. This is naughty. But then he pissed her off. Uh-huh. And then he's like, oh, well, you shouldn't have been doing that. And now I'm going to F up your life.
Right.
I think that's what happened.
So there is, you know, this was the whole, you know, I don't hate to bring up Trump still, but this was Trump when he was talking to Billy Bush in the van, that he's a powerful man. He's rich. And when that happens, women tend to like that sort of power.
Mm-hmm.
And this maybe was one of those things. You know, women love a man in uniform, right? That's the old adage. Some women.
Yeah.
Right. You're pointing at yourself. So, so it's just a thing. And like, it just, I feel like, you know, you can't even try anymore.
Because if
you
go south, then you're a predator.
Then you're screwed. Mm-hmm. Then you're screwed and you're a monster.
I feel bad for guys.
And this, you know, girl or lady, woman that wrote this story, I was like, what was he sending? Like, I assumed he was sending like unsolicited crank pics,
mm-hmm. or like, at least shirtless pics, or like the V line,
trying to get her to like have sex with him in order to get her out of something. That's what I assumed that it was. But then I'm reading it and I'm going, this seems pretty innocent to me.
Really benign.
And he put out a statement that he's sorry and he understands what he did was wrong. But I'm like, I don't know if he did anything wrong. I mean, at the very least,
he did. Let this be a lesson, men. Never point out someone's flaws. Never. That's really, because this would have been like the right way. Don't take this the wrong way, but you have that attractive, independent vibe. You're sexy and very caring. They would be married right now. But he had to say, not a perfect body. Why would you? Now I'm mad at him. Why? That's so dumb.
That was dumb.
Why would you add that in?
That was dumb. He blew it. He blew it. And I think you're right. Let that be a lesson to you guys. Do not point out women's flaws if you're into them. Maybe you didn't want to blow her head up or something. Like, there's also the thing called like negging, you know,
there's a delicate line, but sure. That's just an insult.
No, that's as a man who's been alive for 36 years now, I can tell you that is not the way to go.
Yeah.
Not that I'm an expert.
Especially when you're talking about a woman's looks. You know, maybe like be like, you know, you're a little uptight or high maintenance. No one cares to be about being called that.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't say like, oh, you're like sexy, but a little ugly. But I don't mind it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So this guy took a shot and he blew it, probably with that comment. But, you know, if this would have worked out, like potentially this could end up being his wife or something.
Yeah.
They could end up getting married and having like a relationship. Mm-hmm. And now that's just, you know, squash. She said she didn't want it. She felt uncomfortable. But it's just like, come on. Like, now we're years into Me Too, and I would hope that women know by now if a guy says, look at my penis, and you go, you don't have to say yes. In fact, you can go, no, don't do that again.
Yeah.
And there's are things you can do about it now.
Right, right.
You know, so eventually it's like, okay, when are we going to be done with this?
The answer is never.
Never, which is very unfortunate. So I don't know. You know, I do understand that he did something unprofessional in that role, but I don't know.
His punishment did not fit the crime. But now looking back at the text, I'm annoyed by him.
I'm annoyed
by
him.
He didn't deserve to lose his job, but it's like, how dumb can you be?
He's dumb. Well, you saw the way he texted. He's not the brightest guy.
No.
You know, so he got a lot of words wrong and spelled things wrong. And so he might not have been the brightest guy, but, you know, he could have approached this differently. Like, what? I think he should have just been like, after she's asking him questions, he should have just said, hey, why don't we go grab a coffee in a personal setting?
Yeah.
You know, that's what you should have done instead of, you know, saying I would be a male stripper for a job.
Yeah.
You know, you could have said that. If that would have been in person and you get the tone and everything,
right,
she probably would have laughed at it.
And also, you can't prove that. You know, you have the text there to prove that he did say that. Because he could just be like, I didn't say that. Plausible deniability.
So don't text with women, guys.
Ever.
Ever.
Especially about their bodies, and especially if it's bad.
When you're flirting, do it. You know, maybe just wait to flirt until you can get that coffee date.
There you go.
And then you can flirt. All right, we'll end it there. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. I would like to remind Anna's listeners that there is an HMB Radio shop. Anna got a beautiful...
It is really nice.
HMB Radio hoodie. There's a hat there. And a t-shirt as well that's for sale that are very good quality, very nice. And if you would like to get in contact with us, if you leave a voicemail, we'll play it on the podcast. And if you have any questions, concerns, whatever, 813-693-2124. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye indeed. This has been the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7. And hmbradio.com on podcast. Hey, tell a friend about it. Would you share it with your friends and family? Enjoy listening to me suffer weekly. It's fun, right? Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. See you later.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.